Well, good morning, Harvest Church family. How's everybody doing today? Yeah, good to see your smiling faces here in the room and to everyone watching around campus and wherever you're tuning in online, welcome. We're so glad that you tuned in to join us in worship together. If you have some space, why don't you stand if you're able and join in preparing your hearts and your bodies for worship this morning to bring praise to His name today. Let's take a moment and just invite His presence and pray together. God, we just pray that You would fill our hearts with worship and thanks this morning, that You would remind us of Your faithfulness towards us, Your goodness, and Your mercies that follow us all the days of our lives. Because God, we know that when we catch a glimpse of You, we can't help but respond in worship. And so we just bring You our hearts today. We just bring a sacrifice of praise and lay it at the altar. Ask You to meet us here in the midst. We love You, Lord, and we're here for You. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid Him down in Joseph's This morning. Let's just wait a moment on him. Is anybody in this space here or anywhere on campus that feels like you have a word of encouragement? It's be a great time to just bring that. I know maybe you won't be able to hear it from different rooms, but let's just lift it up right where we're at. If you have a prayer or a word the Lord's put on your heart this morning. To make us aware of your presence.
Turn it for good.
to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. Experiencing a circumstance that's difficult. God, that you would meet them in that and show them, Lord, how you work all things together for good. Would you help us to be patient, to see the hand of the Lord in our life. God, how you care for us so deeply. The enemy would love us to believe that you've forgotten us, that you've abandoned us. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Your word says that you never leave us. You never forsake us. God, that your presence is always with us. And so we thank you for new mercies today. And we just drink it in, God, every ounce that we need to fill our tank for this week. Lord, we need you. We depend on you. And we call upon you this morning for all that we have need of. Would you come and heal every ache in our hearts and every pain in our body and every anxious thought. God, would you wash it away? Bring peace to pass our understanding this morning as we look to you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you for your presence here with us. Would you continue to minister deeply to our hearts as we dive into your word this morning, as we continue in worship. We love you, God, and we thank you for these opportunities to come together as family. To worship you and know you more. We love you. Give you our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Amen. Awesome. Well, this is the time that we love in the middle of service where you get to meet somebody. If you haven't met someone yet, please say hello. Meet someone new. Those of you who are on campus, take a moment. And we'll be back in just a few minutes with some announcements.
And if you're joining us online, we're glad to have you as well. Looking forward to having you back here in service and gathering with you this way. If you like to golf, got some exciting news for you. We have a golfing club starting up. It meets one Sunday per month, not during service, after service. So the first gathering will be Sunday, February 7th, and that will be 1 p.m. at Cypress Ridge. And you can click on the Connect link on the website or app to sign up for that. Just to give us a heads up on notice if you're going to be coming. We have midweek prayer. I want to remind you guys about that. So midweek on Thursday, it's at 8 a.m. in the loft. We gather for prayer, and it's a powerful time to join together, and everyone's welcome. And then just a reminder that we're collecting Lifeline bottles this week. So if you filled up your bottle with change or checks or cash or whatever, go drop those back off with them. Bless them. And then also, just a great way to connect with our church is the Harvest Church app, and that you can download it on your phone, and that'll keep you posted on ways to connect with our church and everything that's going on. So that's all I got. That's all I got. It was an easy one this week. Yeah. So.
I got some stuff.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad you got through. Bring it.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, welcome. How is everyone? I'll start over. So we did have a memorial service yesterday, and it was really, really, really good. I tell you, when you do a memorial service for somebody who's given their whole life to Jesus, it's easy. It really is. It's easy to talk about their lives. It's easy to talk about their impact because it was vast. This gal, Terry Gaynor, died at 60 years old. She's young, but she, man, spent her whole life serving Jesus and impacting people for the kingdom. And so it was really a celebration of life. We got to talk about all of her impact and all of the stuff that she accomplished in her life. And it should be an inspiration for all of us that, man, we've got life to live for his kingdom, things to do for God, and he will use us when we allow him to use us. We're talking about work today. And I got to be honest with you, when I started thinking about the topic of work in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I wasn't thrilled about it. I was like, work, what a boring topic, you know? I thought, what am I going to say about work? And then I thought, hey, everybody's working. Everybody's got stuff going on. So before I get into that, I got a quick joke. You guys ready for a joke? What do you call a toothless bear? A gummy bear. There we go. A gummy bear. Simon Hobbs gets $5 for that one. Simon Hobbs also gave me this joke. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting bear. Rah! Interrupting bear interrupts. Rah! Can you make sure Simon Hobbs gets this $10 here? $5 per joke. $5 per joke. That was the deal. So if you give me a joke that I use on a Sunday morning, then I'll give you $5. Is that a fair deal? Because I've read all kinds of joke books, and some of them are really bad. The ones that I want to tell on Sunday morning are really good, like the ones Simon just told me. Simon's about 8 or so, so he's there. You go. He always comes up with a good joke for me. So as I thought about work, I thought, what can I talk about work? So I've been in full-time vocational ministry for a couple decades, and before that I was in sales and marketing, and I thought, you know what? Those were some of my best years. I mean, I've loved being in full-time vocational ministry as well, but when I'm thinking about impact, I mean, I think I've had some impact in full-time vocational ministry as well, but most of us aren't in full-time vocational ministry, and we have the opportunity in the world to have an impact. And so I started thinking about my life and work and ministry, and I just about every day of my life in secular work, I had an opportunity to minister to somebody in some way, whether praying for them or telling them about Jesus. Somehow, some way, God used me to do that. I don't even know how. In fact, my sales trainer, when I was 23 years old, I had a outside sales job, and the guy training me was also a Christian, and he would walk away from a meeting, and I'd be in a conversation with somebody, and we'd be talking about Jesus when he came back. And he'd be like, how in the world do you always steer the conversation toward Jesus? I said, it's really easy. They asked me about my life. I tell them I went to Bible college, and that just opens the door wide open. So they asked me about Bible college, and they asked me about, you know, all of this stuff, and somehow we just have the conversation turned toward Jesus. But I think when Jesus is our focus, the conversation can easily be turned toward him. And so over the course of my life, and this isn't a pat myself on the back, but this is just what God can do through us when we just are yielded to him and when we're thinking about him in the course of our day and throughout our lives. And so I was thinking, I've been able to tell people about Jesus, straight people, gay people, contractors, architects, prisoners, you name it, because I had sales territory where I visited like 5 or 6 prisons and sold to the prison industries. And so I'd go in and talk to people in prison industries, and I would tell them about Jesus and sell product as well. But I'd always tell them about Jesus. And it was just an open door of opportunity, especially people in prison. You've got a captive audience. They're just there, and they got to listen to the captive audience. I was a chaplain as well, and so I use that joke a lot. I guess it's getting old, so I'll stop using that joke. But the point is, I thought about work, and that work is awesome. Work is a open opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to share the gospel with people, to pray for people. I remember I was at work years ago, and this guy he came to work really sick and not feeling good. I said, "Can I pray for you?" And so he said, "Okay," and I just prayed for him, a simple little prayer, and then just left it in the Lord's hands. And then just over the course of time, I remember another guy. He had just just been searching for the Lord, and he confided in me that his girlfriend had an abortion, and he was just grieved over it. He was just grieved over this decision that they had made, and so I had a chance just to minister the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of grace of God to him, and really powerful things happen, and that guy's still in church to this day. Powerful things happen when we avail ourselves to the work of Christ, and it doesn't have to be heavy-handed, and it's not meant to be heavy-handed. It's just meant to be out of the course of our lives. We're just meant to share our lives with people, and part of our lives, a big part of our lives, if we're Christians, is that we follow Jesus, and Jesus has got stuff to say about stuff. So, sermon title today: Work is Awesome. So I went from saying, man, I don't want to talk about work at all, to this title that says, work is awesome. Why is work awesome? Well, we were created to work. We're going to get into 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, verses 6 through 18 here just in a few minutes, but we're going to take a few minutes to get to that chapter and verse there. Why is work awesome? We were created to work. God has purpose for our work. We forgot to pray. Let's go ahead and stand up and pray. Lord, as we talk about work today, we just want to avail ourselves to you. I know some of us need to be challenged in our area of work. Some of us need to be encouraged, and some of us need to be informed. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do all of the above in Jesus' name, that you would open up our hearts and minds, that you would give us creative ways to minister in our work, but also give us a different perspective about work and just the value of work. God, remind us of truth in your word, what you say about work and what you expect from us about concerning our work, Lord God. So I pray, Jesus, that this wouldn't be just a conversation about work, but it would be a conversation about kingdom and work and how our work is meant to impact the kingdom. So I think everything is supposed to be about the kingdom. So your will be done in that regard, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So we were created to work. God has purpose for our work. And so we're talking about the practical benefits of work. But God has more than practical things to say about work. He's got more than practical things in mind, you know, paying the mortgage, buying a car, raising kids. All of those things are important. But when we think about what God might do with our resources as we work, our time, and we're in a job 8, 10, 12 hours a day, interacting with people 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and that's opportunity to build relationships. I have relationships with men that I worked with, going back to that guy who trained me in sales, going back to my sales manager over 20 years ago. I can recount relationships of people that I'm still in contact with more than two decades later, because there was something besides just work that we had in common. We decided to share life together. And one guy in particular is not a Christian, but we've shared life together, and I've shared the gospel with him over and over and over again. And I'm sure that before he passes, one day he's going to give his life to Jesus. That's my confidence. Why? I don't know. I just keep praying for him. I just keep believing for him, and I just keep talking with him, and I keep loving on him, not with the motivation to see him saved necessarily, but as a Christian, that's always part of the deal. We always want to see the people that we love come to faith in Jesus so that they can know Jesus the way that we love Jesus, but we don't just love them for that motivation. Otherwise, people see through that. So we got to love people just because we love them, have conversations with them with a sincere heart, not with a motivation to share the gospel looking for an opening. But when the opening is there, we can lovingly do it and sincerely do it because God has opened the door. Does that make sense? I remember sharing on job sites with contractors and builders and architects, and it didn't matter who it was. God just, there was always an opportunity there that, you know, God used to give me the opportunity to share the gospel. People would ask for prayer. People would just ask all kinds of questions. And then out of that, see, we have to be willing to share the truth, though. Like, you know, we have to be willing to share our faith with people and not be afraid to do that, because people are hungry for something of real truth, you know. I know that I was when I got saved, and I'm still that way today. Here we go. God has purpose for our work, and we're going to be talking about the practical benefits, but also the spiritual side of work. Did you know that there's a spiritual side to work? I just explained it. There's a spiritual side to work, and it's awesome. God has eternal things in mind. If you attempt to talk to a dying man about sports or business, he is no longer interested. He now sees other things are more important. People who are dying recognize what we often forget, that we are standing on the brink of another world. You know, you don't have to wait to die to have that perspective, to realize that we're standing on the brink of another world. You shouldn't have to be dying to have that perspective, right? You shouldn't be dying to you can get it when you're dying, but you should get it now, like when you're young and vibrant and can make something of your life. Often we think work is the result of the fall. Like, hey, before the fall, there was no work. There was work before the fall. Work is not the result of the fall. We were created for purpose, and part of that purpose is work. God modeled work for us in the creation account and his constant work in the universe. So in the creation account, we see God worked. 6 days he created everything. On the seventh day he rested. But also in our day-to-day lives, we see the work of God in the universe. We see God sustaining the universe, God listening to our prayers, God working as he ministers to us in our lives. In Genesis 2, 1 and 2, in the English Standard Version, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done." So there's a time for rest, but it's after the work is done, right? We have work to do, and I just would challenge you to be asking the Lord what it is that he's got you to do. I've got a buddy of mine who's here today, and he hangs out down at Andrini's all the time because he's looking for God to open doors for him to minister. He's kind of semi-retired. He's got a job and that sort of thing, but he's down at Andrini's because he's realized that God's created opportunities. Andrini's is just a coffee shop down the street here, but he's realized that as he sits there, God brings people to him, and he's got an opportunity to pray for people and minister to people and to share the gospel with people. So he makes that part of his daily routine. Lord, where do you want to use me? I want to be available, Lord. That should be our attitude and our perspective. God wants to work through us. God worked, and God created man to work. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So that was before the fall. So before the fall, God created people to work. He's created us to work. And then after the fall, more work. We see in Genesis 3:23, therefore the Lord sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. So throughout biblical history, God has given work for his creation to accomplish. Have you stopped and asked the Lord, what is it that I'm here to do? Besides what I do for a living, in the midst of what I do for a living, how do you want to use me in the midst of that and outside of that? What do you want to do with my life? Work is how things get done. In fact, nothing can actually happen unless work is done. On Friday, I was at the office working, and I ended up talking to a guy, Jim Autry. Jim usually sits right around there about second service. And Jim was here with Joanne, and they were working as volunteers around the property. And I said, you know what? I so appreciate your work around here. And they go around, and they knock cobwebs down off the building, and they dust buildings, and they clean buildings, and they just do whatever is needed around the property. And he said, you know what? It's the most fun thing in the world to be here working for God and just keeping the facility up. There's something that we can be doing with our work that points people to Jesus and glorifies God. Why is work awesome? Number one, work is enjoyable. Have you noticed that? Now, work is work, and sometimes it's not enjoyable, but some of my best memories in life is around work, whether it's vocational stuff or just work around the property. There's something very gratifying about work. I just built a greenhouse a few months ago in my backyard, and it's not perfect, but it's the work of my hands, right? When the rain, the roof kind of sags when it rains a little bit because it's that corrugated stuff, but so you have to pick it up and let the water. But, you know, it's my roof. And it's my greenhouse, and I got to build that thing from stuff around my property. And there's something very gratifying about it. When the grass is freshly cut, my son comes and cuts our grass. And when it's freshly cut, it's just this amazing looking yard because it's freshly cut. There's something gratifying about work. Work is enjoyable. Genesis 1:31, after the creation, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. We're like God. We've been created in his image. So we look at the things that we have done, the ways that we have worked, and the ways that we've been productive, and we can be very happy with those things. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the sixth day. God saw that what he had made, it was very, very good. We're meant to step back and look at our own lives and say, man, that was very good. I am so glad that God used me in this arena, in this way, because I've had impact, so that when you get to the end of your life and you expire and you get translated to heaven, people are going to be able to say, that person, like we did with Terry Gaynor yesterday, that person worked for God's kingdom. She worked in the church. She worked with women's ministries. She worked in human trafficking. She worked in all of these areas and arenas so that people might know Jesus, so that she might point people to Jesus. So at the end of her life, it's just easy. We just tick off all the stuff that she did. It was easy. It was like she did this and this and this, and we talked about this and this and this, and it was just like it was a celebration of her life, because it's appointed once for man to die. Then the judgment, she was able to stand before the Lord, and I said, I promise you, she got before the Lord, she heard, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Well done. And that's our desire. We want to hear that. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Jolene and I work together here at the office, and we ride together a couple days a week. And at the end of every day, we get home, we talk about work, and because she's in one office, I'm in another office, and we talk about our day at the end of the day. And the most enjoyable days is when we get something accomplished, when we get something significant accomplished. There are days when we're just doing, you know, to-do stuff and that sort of thing, but our best days is when we get something accomplished. I would say set out every day to get something accomplished. Ask the Lord two questions. Ask him, number one, what am I going to do today? And in that, what do you want to do today? What am I going to do, and what do you want to do through me? Just ask the Lord those questions when you get up in the morning, and just watch how the Lord will steer conversations, whether it be at the market or with friends or at work. Ask the Lord to steer the conversation so that you might pray for somebody, encourage somebody, and do the work that God has called you to do. Work is work, but it is enjoyable when we've got God on the throne of our lives and when he's directing us. Do you believe that? Is that possible? You say, well, I hate my job. I've had seasons in life where I've hated my job as well. And sometimes you just have to endure it, and then in the midst of that, God does some good stuff. But if you're in a terrible scenario with work, maybe you need to shift your job, because nobody needs to be miserable doing something that they don't love to do. But maybe the Lord just wants to change your perspective and give you a fresh vision for what you do. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, people who work hard sleep well. Isn't that true? Like, you finish up a hard day, you're like, crash, you hit the bed, and you're so grateful for the hard work, but grateful for the nice bed to fall into. Why is work awesome? Work is enjoyable. Find a way to enjoy what God has called you to do. Number two, work is how resources are gathered. So just an obvious statement, work is how resources are gathered. Proverbs 12:11 says, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lack sense. A guy told his friend, you're so lucky. Everything goes your way. His friend said, you know, it's funny thing is, the harder I work, the luckier I get. You know? Hard work is part of the deal. We have to get up. And I'll just tell you this too. If you're going to try to be a witness for Christ on the job site, you better work really, really well. Like, you can't be a sloth and try to witness for Jesus, because nobody wants to hear about Jesus from a sloth. Amen? So don't show up late. Don't be a sloth. Do what you're told to do. And don't be telling people about Jesus when you're supposed to be doing your job. All right? So work hard and wait for the Lord to open up doors of opportunity. Christians, people of faith should be, people in the Christian faith should be the best workers out there. We should be more diligent, more vigilant, more better informed. We should be doing what God has called us to do with our very best effort, putting God first in everything and making excellence our goal. I read this quote, "Your destiny is not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice." So you get to choose how you spend your life. Am I going to spend my life honoring Jesus, or am I going to spend my life just pursuing my own pursuits? Work is part of the fabric of who we are. I had a friend, his name was Dave Fletcher. Dave passed away earlier this year. Dave Fletcher, his last name was Fletcher. You know what a fletch is? Fletch are those little feathers on the arrow, the end of an arrow, you know? And a fletcher is someone who puts those fletches on arrow shafts. And so somewhere in my friend Dave Fletcher's lineage, they were Fletchers. And so his name became Dave Fletcher. I know of another guy, his name is Stephen J. Preacher. This guy's not a preacher, but somewhere in this guy's lineage, most likely, he had a preacher in his family. I was doing, after the memorial service yesterday, there was some guy here that I didn't know, and he yelled out across the parking lot, "Hey, preacher! Good job!" I'm like, "Oh, thanks." But we're identified by the things that we do, right? Preacher's got some negative connotations, I guess, but we're all called to preach the gospel. We're all called to proclaim the gospel. And so if somebody calls us preacher or Bible thumper, those were my nicknames when I was in business. People would say, "Hey, there's the Bible thumper." I'm like, whatever, that's what I am, I guess. I'm preacher, whatever. Didn't matter. They could have called me something else that would have been a little more derogatory, but they call me that, so that was fine. So what would if you were to get a new name today, what would your name be? What would it be? Like, so my name is Stephen Henry. What would they call me now? Would they call me Stephen Preacher, or would they call me Stephen Jerk? What would they call me? I don't know, but make your work be synonymous with who you are. Let your work be the part of the fabric of who you are, and watch what God will do. The Apostle Paul was a hardworking servant of God and took seriously the responsibility of hard work. And he talks about it in this letter in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. He talked about it in 1 Thessalonians as well, the topic of idleness, laziness. He addresses it in both letters because obviously there was something going on in that church, some idleness going on, and Paul spends a good amount of time in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 dealing with idleness. It matters to God how we spend our time, and it reflects on our character, how we spend our time and how we spend our lives. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're finally there, verses 6 and following. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the traditions they received from us." Wow. This is pretty strong language from the Apostle Paul, right? He's saying, he issues this command, and he can't give this command any stronger than he did. "We issue this command in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So following that type of introduction in this verse, you think Paul's got something serious to say? Yeah, he does. He's got something serious to say. The command is given about as strong as it can be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the command? Stay away from all believers. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they received from us. So again, Paul addressed the same issue in his first book to this church. And now, just a short time later, he's hearing that the problem still persists. And by God's grace, he wants to challenge it again. Maybe you're hearing this about this topic of work a couple times in your life. Maybe the Lord's trying to speak something to you about your diligence at work, or is your witness at work. Maybe God's trying to communicate something to you. He loves us enough to communicate things more than once. Stay away from believers who live idle lives and don't follow the traditions they receive from us. In Paul's first letter to the church, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, the church was directed to admonish the idle. So here he's saying, stay away from them, and we're going to hear more. Then he said in the first letter, he said, but admonish them, like bring correction to them. You think, well, it's not a big deal, right, if somebody's lazy. It's a big deal, actually. Why? Because God's created us for purpose, for good works to be accomplished in the earth. And so when we're, as Christians, not busy doing what God has called us to do, it's a big deal because we're wasting our lives. We're wasting our influence. We're wasting our impact here in the earth. And Paul knew all about that because he spent the first part of his life persecuting God's followers, the church. And then God got a hold of his life and radically saved him. And now he's spending the rest of his life making sure that people know Jesus and know the truth about God. So this issue of idleness continues to be a problem because Paul spends a large portion of this epistle focused on it. In fact, next to the second coming in this epistle, Paul spends more time on this topic than anything else. You think, what's the big deal, Paul? Get over it. It's a big deal. Apparently, the Holy Spirit, through the unction of God, through this inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if God's speaking something through Paul about idleness, there's something to be said here. There's something to be listened to. What does it mean to be idle? Basically, we're going to see from the context of this and the text here that it means those who refuse to work. Verse 7, for you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. Paul was not idle when he was preaching the gospel. He was a tent maker. He was busy earning an income while he was preaching the gospel. Whatever idleness is, Paul wasn't it. Paul was a tent maker, a church planter, an evangelist, a missionary. He was busy doing what God had called him to do. Verse 8, Paul said, we never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so we would not be a burden to any of you. So he's communicating something of the urgency to get busy, to be productive. If you pay your way, you're probably not being idle. But if you're a burden to someone else, you might be idle. And God is challenging that in your life. Paul said, we certainly have the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Knowing that this church struggled with idleness, that there are people within the church who struggle with idleness, with laziness, with the lack of desire to work, Paul and his companions decided to work to set an example so that these believers, these Christians, might know how to live their lives. Paul had every right to accept pay for his ministry. We know that because he wrote in 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. And then he wrote again in 1 Corinthians 9:14, in the same way the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. So Paul put his rights aside so that he might be an example to those who are watching him. Wonder where we might need to put our rights aside so that we might be an example to people around us. Maybe it's in the area of work where you're saying, man, I'm here to work. I'm going to compartmentalize my life. I'm exercising my right just to work and not shine my light here in this place of my employment. Now, you can exercise that right, I guess, but you're wasting your life. If you don't share the gospel while you're at work, you got 8, 10, 12 hours a day to work and do the things that you do to earn a living, and you're wasting those 20 or 30 or 40 years that you have on the workforce if you're not being salt and light the way that God would ask you to be salt and light. I know it's a direct statement to say you're wasting your life because we're not created as Christians. We're not, our design is not just to buy a house and secure retirement and to have nice vacations and nice stuff. That's not what we're here to do. And that's part of what, you know, we might experience, you know, and might gain as we live and work and that sort of thing. But ultimately, all of those things, if they're not done for the kingdom, they're like wood, hay, and stubble. They're going to be burned up. And when we stand before the Lord and he says, what did you do for me? And you say, well, I bought a nice house. That's going to burn up. He doesn't care about that. Well, I took care of my family. Okay, well, that's got some merit to it. Did you make sure your family knew Jesus? Did you model Jesus to your family? Did you model Jesus to your employers, to your employees, to your friends that, in your life? All of that stuff is what's going to survive the fires of judgment when it's all said and done. We're all going to stand before the Lord and give an account for our lives. And so how are you spending your life? You don't want to waste your life. Paul and his comrades had the right to expect support from their ministry work, but they wanted to be an example to this church, so they worked to cover their own needs. Paul did whatever he could to eliminate stumbling blocks to those who needed to hear the gospel. He did whatever he could to eliminate things that might trip people up so that they might hear the gospel and live their lives for the gospel. He said, even while we were with you, we gave you this command, those unwilling to work will not get to eat. That's pretty straightforward. You don't work, you don't eat. Work is how resources are gathered, and those unwilling to work will not get to eat. I don't want to step on any toes. Probably too late for that. I don't want to step on any toes out there, and I don't know everybody's circumstances, but if you are able to work, you should be working. God's got stuff for you to do. If you're able to do it, get out there and do it. Why is work awesome? Work keeps you out of trouble, number three. People with too much idle time get themselves into trouble. Idle hands are the devil's playground, something like that. Seriously, man, we need to be busy doing what God has called us to do, living full lives in Jesus, doing what he's asked us to do. What has God asked you to do? Maybe you're retired and you're like, I don't really need to work. So what do I do? Well, ask the Lord, what does God want me to do? What does God want you to do with your season in life? Verse 11, yet we hear some of you are living idle lives. Number three, again, work keeps you out of trouble. Yet we hear some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. The problem with someone who refuses to work is not just laziness. The problem is that they get into other people's business. And that's just a bad idea. There's a proverb in 26:17. Proverbs 26:17. Whoever meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. You know what happens when you take a passing dog by the ears? You get growled at and barked at and bitten, right? God has created us to be busy in his kingdom. There's a time for rest. That's what the Sabbath day is all about. I'm leaving this afternoon to go on a two-day prayer retreat. There's a time for that. But even that's work. Even that's work, because you go and you pray and you press into the Lord and you're asking for wisdom and clarity. I do this every year, a couple times a year. I say, Lord, what do you want to do for this year? What do you want to do in my life? You know, what's in store for me? What's in store for my family? What's in store for Harvest Church? And sometimes I get great clarity and other times I don't. Last year, I didn't get any clarity at all when I did this. And then COVID hit and I'm like, no wonder. Who could have foresaw that, you know? But I'm expecting God to say something, because I'm carving out some time saying, Lord, I just want to hear from you so that I spend this year 2021 doing the stuff that you've called me to do. You know, we could coast. All of us could coast along. Church has got plenty of people, plenty of money. I could coast, and we could just keep doing the business of church. Or we can press in and say, God, what is it that you want to do this year? Maybe you've got plenty of resource and plenty of time, and you could just coast. You could just coast, but you're wasting your life if you're not intentionally thinking about what God's called you to do. So I'm going to get away, and I encourage you to do the same thing from time to time. Just get away. Even if it's for a day that you're just walking on the beach, you're going on a hike, and you're saying, Lord, my life is yours. What do you want to do with my life? I don't want to spend my life pursuing things. I'm going to be 52 in April. So I'm still a kid. I got time. I got time. And so I figure I got 25 good years left in me. You laugh. Maybe it's 35 years. I don't know. I don't know, but I don't want to spend the next year or 5, 10 years, 30 years wasting it. I want to be busy. I want to have fun. I think part of what God's called us to is to have fun as well and enjoy life. But man, part of that is work. Part of, I think, in heaven, when we get to heaven, it's going to be a kingdom where we're working and enjoying God's blessing in an uncorrupted experience and existence. There's going to be work for us to do there as well. So work is not just part of the curse. Work is part of God's design forever, forever, forever. So God's got good stuff in store for us. Let's warm up to the idea of work and not just try to get out of it by saying, hey, I got to retire by the time I'm 60. If you want to retire by the time you're 60, great. Free yourself up to go do kingdom work. Maybe go on a missions trip or get involved in church or park yourself at Andrini's and work with Mark and start leading people to Jesus. Whatever it is, do something for God. Amen? All right, I'll stop harking on that. I probably won't, actually. I'll be harking on that for the rest of my life. Because it's been my heart's desire for my whole life to see people empowered and equipped to do God's kingdom work. Since I don't know why, but God put that into me when I was young, and I've been doing it ever since. I've been trying to help people understand they've got kingdom value. There's stuff that you can do that I cannot do. There's people that you're exposed to that I'm not exposed to. This is why God created the church, so that we can impact the whole world. The whole world, your friends who are angry that you're a Christian or angry that you're about your faith. They need Jesus. Pray for them. People who don't even know that you're a Christian, you don't want to get to the end of your life and have people sit at your funeral and say, man, I didn't even know that guy was a Christian. What a tragedy that would be. All right, here we go. What should the idol do? What should the idol do? We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. That's pretty straightforward. Settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Take note of those who refuse to obey what we say in this letter. Stay away from them so they will be ashamed. Wow, Paul wants us to shame people. That's not politically correct, is it? But it's not for the sake of shaming people. It's out of brotherly love. We're saying, man, quit being lazy. Quit wasting your life. Do something for God. Work to earn your living, but also do stuff that God has called you to do. He said, don't think of them as enemies, but warn them as you would a brother or sister. So it's not with a judgment in our hearts that Paul asks us to do this, but we're pleading in Jesus' name. Pleading in Jesus' name. Use your life for God. That's the plea. That's the heart of Paul. Paul's final greetings, verse 16, and then we're wrapped up with this, or verse 16 and 17, then we're wrapped up in verse 18. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. You will have God's peace when you're doing God's will. That just occurred to me. It's occurred to me in the past, but I didn't think about it when I was prepping this message. You want to have God's peace? Do God's will. You want to be grumpy and miserable? Don't do God's will. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Verse 17, here is my greeting in my own handwriting. Paul, I do this in all my letters to prove they are from me. Remember, this church was believing information because they got a false letter from someone who claimed to be Paul about the second coming, that they had missed it. So Paul's saying, hey, in my own handwriting, I write this letter. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So Paul says some hard things, and I've said some hard things, but he wraps it up. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's God's desire, is that we would experience his grace as we get challenged in our faith. Because if we're challenged without grace, then we're just beat up. But if we're challenged with grace, then we have the opportunity to step up and to do what God has called us to do. So my prayer for you is that you'd be graced in Jesus' name, that you'd be graced and that you'd step up in Jesus' name and do the things that God has called you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Worship team, come on out. Let's go ahead and stand up. We're going to pray and sing and worship. Lord, this has been practical stuff and meddling stuff. It's been difficult to hear some of it, Lord God, but I pray that as we've listened, God, that you've spoken something to our souls, to our lives that bring about transformation and change. God, help us to live with you on the throne, with you as our focus, so we might do what you've called us to do. And at the end of it all, Lord, we'd hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord. That's what we want to hear. So bless us, we pray, as we worship. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Your ways moving in the unseen. The breath you exhale sustaining me.
Confident in your faithfulness. I'm confident in your faithfulness.
would ring true in our hearts and our lives this week. We love you, Lord. Thank you for being with us this morning. We give you our hearts. We give you every breath, our very lives. I pray that you keep everyone safe and healthy until we gather together again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if there's anyone this morning who could use someone to come alongside you and pray, please feel free to come on up. We'll have some folks that would love to pray with you this morning. And make sure you say hello to someone, share a need. Let's be the church, be there for each other. Have a wonderful day, have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday.